On the weekend, the Labor opposition announced its first major policy of the election year, a significant change to negative gearing. From July next year, if Labor were in government, negative gearing would be restricted to new homes. The capital gains tax exemption would be halved from 50% to 25%. The government says it's a con, and the property industry is threatening an anti-mining tax-style campaign to try and knock off the proposed changes. Shadow Treasurer Chris Bowen is the man with all the pressure at the moment. Chris Bowen, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Scott Morrison says this policy will have, quote, some very nasty consequences for everyday mum and dad investors who are just trying to get ahead. It is true, isn't it, that a lot of people, not rich people, a lot of people do buy an investment property because it's the one way they can see to build a nest egg for their retirement. Without negative gearing, the sums won't add up for a lot of them.
Well, Fran, it's true that many people invest in properties and many negatively gear, some positively gear, and some do it in various ways. But what we're saying is if you want to have negative gearing in the future, if you aspire to grow your wealth in the future through negative gearing, that's fine. Work with us to expand the housing supply, create jobs in the construction sector. Any expert will tell you, Fran, the ultimate answer to housing affordability, and it is at crisis levels in Australia, let's be clear, first home buyers are being frozen out. The answer to housing affordability is to increase supply. And the proponents of the current arrangements say that negative gearing encourages supply. That is not true, Fran. 93% of negative gearing goes to existing properties. If that's your policy objective, you have a 93% failure rate. Any government, any alternative government, should find that unacceptable. We do. This is a big, bold reform, Fran. It will draw criticism. Vested interests will complain about it. But I think the Australian people are looking for a government, an alternative government, prepared to make the tough decisions for straight talking, and Bill Shorten and Labor are certainly beginning this election year with a big and bold policy initiative. Now, first time buyers will be...
Can I just pull you up on that? Because, it is going to be a tough policy for some, because the Property Council tells us there are 840,000 people earning less than $80,000 a year who use negative gearing at the moment. If 93% of negative gearing goes to existing properties, then that's a lot of people who are buying property either in their neighbourhood because that's where they know, or maybe, you know, for their kids, then they're not going to be able to do that anymore. That's going to be taken away from them. Now, that might be good policy in your view, but that's the reality, and it's going to have an impact on people, isn't it?
Well, Fran, we know that 50% of the benefit of negative gearing goes to the top 20% of income earners. That is a fact. You'll see different statistics out there used for different purposes. What some people do, Fran, and frankly, it is misleading, is take post-tax income. So they say, look, these people are on low incomes who are negatively geared. Well, that's after they've negatively geared. They've reduced their taxable income by negative gearing. Now, they might be on a very high income to start with, but if you buy four or five properties and negatively gear them all, you'll reduce your income.
But they say 52,000 retail workers, 53,000 teachers, 36,000 nurses, the list goes on. This is what the campaign's going to look like against you, isn't it?
Yes, but we can get into the occupational figures if you like, if they want to. You know, there's figures out about how many surgeons and how many anaesthetists are negatively geared compared to and the figures are very, very strong and compelling, that the benefit goes to the higher end of the income scale. Now, that's not to say that some people on middle incomes don't negatively gear. Of course they do, Fran. I mean, you know, in Sydney in particular, property investment is a favoured form of investment, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with negative gearing, but we want to put it to work. We want to put it to work for the expansion of property supply, which many, many experts have pointed out is the ultimate answer to housing affordability. For years, we have concentrated on the demand side of housing affordability policies, i.e. first home owner grants, etc. Sol Eslake, an eminent economist, has called that, I think, 40 years of policy failure. This is a policy which concentrates on the supply side and targets negative gearing at a better outcome for the entire economy.
Let's look at the targeting. As you say, it'll help with the housing supply, but it doesn't necessarily help about who's accruing the wealth, does it? Because if 50% of negative gearing impact is goes to the wealthy, under your policy, you're not restricting the number of new properties that could be negatively geared. So cashed-up high-end investors will still reap the significant bulk of the tax deductions, won't they?
And if they are expanding supply and improving housing affordability and investing in more houses and apartments, whether they be in new estates or urban infill, that is taking pressure off the housing market.
Okay, so it's about increasing the supply and the affordability, not about the equitability or otherwise of the tax measure.
Well, when we go through our policy development, Fran, and we've been working on this for 12 months, I first flagged this 12 months ago, mm-hmm. but this would be on our policy agenda. I think you and I have discussed it over that 12 mm-hmm. months, so we were working on it. When we worked on it, we consulted, we looked at all the different permutations and options, we thought carefully about it, we thought through different options. Of course, there's many different options as to how you could do this, and we looked at the potential benefits. Now, there's a very significant benefit for the budget bottom line, $32 billion over the decade, point one. This helps with housing affordability, point two. It helps with job creation, point three, and it is fairer, point four. So we look at measures which try and tick more than one box. The government just has one frame and they don't care whether it affects low-income earners or high-income earners. They target low-income earners in many of their policies.
But the government's
actually look across the board.
In this case, it looks as though the government's frame is fairness, because it's suggested that their policy, we don't know what it will be yet, but is likely to restrict the number of properties any taxpayer could negatively gear and limit the deductions that can be claimed in any year. In your view, why isn't that a better way to go? Because it certainly does put a limit on how much tax deduction wealthy investors can claim.
Well, Fran, as you say, we don't know what government policy is because they haven't got around to doing the work or announcing it. We turn up at this election year with a kit bag of policies already announced, and the best Malcolm Turnbull and Scott Morrison have is everything's on the table.
Sure. What do you think of that idea, though?
Well, a couple of points. The Treasurer was reduced yesterday to a pretty pathetic op-ed saying there's problems with this, but I'll think about it. And his criticism of us was that it doesn't raise much money in the early years. That's true. That's right. That's deliberate for two reasons. One, we want measures which improve the budget bottom line, which are structural in nature. That is, they get bigger over time. They start off small. They get bigger. That's exactly what the budget needs. And secondly, because we've grandfathered every existing investment, anybody who's made investments in good faith, that means that the return to the budget is smaller immediately than it would be if you just abolished negative gearing retrospectively. Now, if Scott Morrison is proposing abolishing negative gearing retrospectively, or indeed putting retrospective limits on, then he should come clean with that very, very quickly, because that is the only way, frankly, he would raise much more money in the short term than our very well-calibrated policy does.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Shadow Treasurer Chris Bowen is our guest. It's 16 minutes to 8. Treasurer, just if we could whiz through quite quickly a number of the traps that people see straight away.
Yet,
I mean,
Fran,
Shadow Treasurer, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon.
And future if we win, but at the moment, Shadow Treasurer.
Lots of traps and changes to any of these tax settings. For instance, investor demand for existing properties will fall right away under your policy. Does that mean house prices will also fall and you could have a lot of grumpy homeowners out there if you strip value from their sort of asset portfolio?
No, again, Fran, look very carefully. This is a lot of myths out there, and more than happy to deal with them, including house prices and rental prices. But on house prices, of course, house price growth has been very, very strong, 11% over the year, and much more in some places like Sydney. And that will, I am sure, continue. But what we do want to do is take some of the heat out of future rises and put first home buyers on a more level playing field.
But this will knock this will take some of the gloss off the value of a house,
we do want to take some of the heat out of future rises in the property market, because at the moment, Fran,
if you translate that means the value of someone's house right now would fall
Fran, as I'm pointing out, that house values have risen very dramatically over recent years now.
Yes.
And I'm sure, Fran, that there are fundamentals in the market which will continue to play out. Tax is just one of the myriad of factors.
Okay.
But at the moment, a first-time buyer turns up at an auction with very, very little government support. An investor, we're doing nothing wrong, just complying with the law, very legitimately, but an investor turns up at an auction with the most generous tax treatment of property investment in the world, in their pocket, competing against a first-home buyer. No wonder first-home buyers are now only one in seven of home purchases in Australia.
So that's part of your plan to make it cheaper for the first-home owners. That's how it works,
even,
really.
Even people who own their own home, in my consultations and just wandering around my community, say, well, it's good for me that my property keeps increasing in value year on year, but what about the kids? How are they ever going to afford to get into the market? Even where I live in Western Sydney, an hour from Sydney, how are my kids going to ever be able to afford to get into the market? People actually want to see a government taking a holistic approach, and they recognise that policies like this are a very important part of the mix.
Okay, can I ask you quickly about renters? If you take away negative gearing, will these investors put up the rents to cover their costs?
No, and again, this argument is based on a complete fallacy, Fran, and a misrepresentation, a dishonest misrepresentation of what happened in the 1980s.
But it does make sense, though.
No, Fran, doesn't, because firstly, when you look at the 1980s quickly, it's argued by some that negative gearing, when negative gearing was taken away, rents went up. That is a lie. Rents did not go up in most capital cities in Australia. They went up in Perth and Sydney for reasons completely unrelated to negative gearing. In other capital cities, they went down or stayed the same. Secondly, Fran, you know, 30% of the rental market is not negatively geared. They're not, that they are, will provide competition to the market. And secondly, if people, for whatever reason, choose to sell their rental property, so landlords exit, and there's no real reason that people should do that given grandfathering, but even if they do, as the Grattan Institute has pointed out, one less landlord equals one less renter, as that then provides an opportunity for renters to move into ownership. But the fundamentals of the market don't change, and the market, the competition in the market will provide for people to get more competitive rents. Now, the idea that somehow if you take negative gearing away, people will then automatically in the future put their rents up just doesn't hold when you look at the fundamentals of the market.
Can I just ask you finally then, this threat from some of the groups, Property Council, Master Builders, HIA, to run a anti-mining tax style campaign against any party that tries to touch negative gearing and capital gains tax in particular. Are you fearful of that? The Property Council says 430,000 investors who negatively gear live in marginal seats held by the government and the opposition.
No, Fran, again, a few points without wanting to detain you too long. A few points, though. Firstly, we knew when we took this decision, Bill Shorten and the Shadow Cabinet, that this would be controversial and that vested interests who benefit from the current arrangements would campaign against it. We knew that. We did that eyes wide open because it's the right thing to do. Secondly, it's very fashionable these days for people who benefit from current arrangements to threaten a mining tax-style advertising campaign. Policymakers cannot be diverted by that. We will not be diverted by that. What the government does is a matter for them. If they blink or lose their nerve, that's a matter for them. We won't. And secondly, and finally, I'm more than happy to sit down with property developers, as I have over the last year in consultations, and point out that a tax treatment which actually encourages investment in property development, which actually encourages supply, would be a very strange thing for some property developers to campaign against.
For the master builders to campaign against. Chris Bowen, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Always nice talking to you, friend.
Chris Bowen is the Shadow Treasurer, and we did request an interview with the Treasurer, Scott Morrison, but he was not available. After 8 this morning, we're going to hear from Glenn Bynes from the Property Council, get their perspective on this and also this threat to run the anti-mining tax style campaign against any party that touches negative gearing.